living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
You take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 9. We're going to start there today. Well, it will not be long now. We're going to be taking off around 3:30 today from Indianapolis and land in Ahmedabad, India sometime tomorrow afternoon. So we want you to pray. And there's a calendar back there. Sign up for a day where you can spend the day extra prayer. And there's prayer guides back there that we printed off to kind of give you a day-by-day rundown of where we're going to be, what we're doing, and when we're doing it. And I put Indiana time in there, not India time, so you don't have to do the math. It's 10.5 hours ahead. So there's lots that we're counting on you to pray over. And I was thinking, you know, while we were singing there, I was thinking, I just really don't like goodbyes. You know? I can't think of a goodbye that's good. So I was trying to think of something that was good.
See you later.
Yeah. That's better. But you know what goodbyes do for you? They tell you where your love is. Isn't that true? I just thought of that while we were singing. You know, I see you guys, and I'm telling you, I am full of joy, but there's a lump in my throat this morning because I love you. And my family, I can't even think about leaving them. You know, that's what goodbyes do for you. But we'll say, see you later. We'll say that for sure. So we're here to encourage prayer this morning, and I wanted to share a message with you about prayer, the power of prayer, because really it's really an incredible thought. If you think about this, you know, we're used to it a lot, but it's an incredible thought that our God, the master sovereign of the universe, the creator, invites us to talk to him. Here's what we have to say, and then responds, answers in unmistakable, tangible ways. And it's the very best that we could have for our life. I mean, that just should blow your mind that we have that opportunity. Now, prayer isn't just a religious activity. Lots of religions pray. For us, it's a relational activity, you know, because we have a Heavenly Father. And so we turn aside to sit down with God and to meet with him and to share with him what is on our hearts. Have a conversation. We're talking and listening to him. And we do that in our life as we follow Jesus, and we grow in that, and we overcome our unbelief by persistent, perpetual prayer. And then out of these conversational meetings, stuff happens. Changes occur. So there's a strategy that I want to share with you this morning. It's called the push strategy. Pray until something happens. Now that acronym will mean nothing in a couple days in India. But here it works. The push strategy. Now I love that because all we have to do is keep talking to God about whatever it is. It's on our hearts and our minds. We've got to be faithful, and we're promised that he hears us and that he will answer us with what is good for our life. Now that may not always be what you pray for. You know, you might not always get what you want. But it will always be what's best for us and for God's glory. So the key to seeing power in your prayer life is not what you ask or how you ask it, but that you keep on asking. Push. pray until something happens. And that's the hard work of prayer. So I want to share some encouragement with you to push. To keep on following Jesus' instructions. To keep on praying no matter what. Pray without ceasing, as Paul said. No matter what the circumstances are. No matter what may happen to you. Because the secret to the power of prayer is pushing. Praying until something happens. Let's do it right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and you know, I just want to thank you, Lord, for an opportunity that you've given me to share your word and to talk about you and Jesus and the relationship that we have with you. And I want to ask you, Lord, just to anoint these words, that you would translate them into the language of the heart, that you would give us that spiritual energy to get down on our knees and to spend time with you and to talk with you. And so, Lord, stir in us today a burden for prayer. So many things on our minds to pray for this morning. But we thank you. We thank you for prayer. That you're near. That you hear and you answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if we're going to push, if we're going to pray, if we're going to keep praying until something happens, we're going to have to answer a difficult question first. And that is the question of prayer. Does prayer really make a difference? Does it change anything? Does it have any power? That's the question of prayer. What difference does it make? Now, here's the thing about this question. When you look in the rearview mirror of your life, it's easy to answer that question. It's not even a question. I mean, yeah, sure. Prayer works. I remember when I prayed, I was at the end of my rope. Situation was beyond me. I prayed, God answered. Yes, prayer works. But that's rearview mirror. And we never ask that question when we're looking in the rearview mirror. We always ask it when we're looking out the windshield. When we're looking ahead in our life to what's coming. So that's when this question rises up within us. Now in Mark chapter 9, there's an encounter with Jesus there that voices the question of prayer. Jesus, Peter, James, and John have just come down off a mountain, and they've had what we know of an experience called the Transfiguration, where Jesus was transformed into his glorious self, and he held a small group meeting with Moses and Elijah. And Peter, James, and John are there. So they come down from the mountain. And that's what's in their rearview mirror. This mountaintop experience with God. And so they come down, and the other disciples have a crowd gathered around them, and they're arguing with the scribes about something. And they see Jesus coming, and they run up to him, and they tell him what all the fuss is. Or he asks them what all the fuss is. And then a father who's in this crowd tells him what's going on. And so that's where we're going to pick up the reading in verse 17. And someone from the crowd, the father, answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." So this father's confession here is where the question of prayer kind of gets voiced. And it's where we wrestle with the question of prayer. And Jesus said, all things are possible for those who believe. And the man says, I believe, help my unbelief. That's it right there. Does prayer make a difference? You know, I believe that God hears me. I believe He answers me. But I also have this unbelief that creeps up from time to time. When I'm faced with things out in front of me that look too big of a mountain to move, when I pray and nothing really seems to happen, when I pray and I don't get the answer that I'm looking for, all this can increase unbelief. It can make the question of prayer seem bigger than the answer. And then we throw our emotions into the mix there, and that can sink our faith. When we get discouraged, when we get mad, when we get disappointed, all those things have a tendency to increase our unbelief, to increase this question of prayer, make it look bigger than the answer. And then we get tired, we get sick, we are in pain, and all of this can feed our unbelief, our physical bodies. And then, you know, mention the spiritual stuff, we fall into sin. Or we get attacked by the enemy, and those things have a tendency to hammer us and make that question seem bigger. So what do we do? What do we do about this? One of my favorite stories is about a guy named Daniel Rudiger. His short name is Rudy. And Rudy had a dream to play football at the University of Notre Dame. But he had a problem. And that was that he wasn't smart enough to get into Notre Dame, and he wasn't good enough to play on the football team. But still, he had this dream that he wanted to pursue. And he didn't have anybody at home that was supporting him in this. They thought he was all crazy. But he went up to Notre Dame. And as he pursued this dream, he made some special friends along the way. And one of those friends was Father Kavanaugh. And after a couple of years, Rudy's been trying to transfer into Notre Dame, and he's on his last semester when he can transfer in, and he's waiting and waiting for the letter to come, and he finds himself in church, in a pew, saying a prayer. And Father Kavanaugh comes up to him, and Rudy asks him, Father, have I done all that I can do? And the father responds, Son, in 35 years of religious study, I've come up with only two hard, incontrovertible facts. There is a God, and I am not Him. You know, that's important to remember. There is a ton of evidence that suggests prayer makes no difference. But the challenge for us is to stay in our role and let God do His. You know, the Bible tells us His ways are higher than our ways. And so that means that it's going to be outside of my understanding and knowledge about how He works, the way He does things, you know, when He does the way He does things. Outside of my knowledge. And I have always said, I don't want to have a God that I can completely figure out. I mean, that would be bad. And so you may have heard this saying, when you don't understand God's plan, you need to trust His heart. And so what do we know about God? He's good, and He is love, and He is our Father. And He knows our name. He knows what's going to happen today before it happens. He knows what we will say before we say it. He knows all of this. He is the giver of all good gifts. And He wouldn't give us something if it wasn't good for us. And He wouldn't withhold something if it wasn't good for us. If it was good for us. So God knows what He's doing. And we've got to stay in our role. We've got to just trust His heart. Trust that His definition of good is better than our definition. Trust that He keeps His promises. Trust that He takes care of us. We can trust God. We can trust Him. And so we stay in our role, and that requires faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, right? Our sight it gives a beating to our faith many times. And so when we're trying to do that, it gets difficult. But here's what I want to show you in this passage. This is amazing. When the question seems bigger than the answer, remember what Jesus says here about prayer. Very last verse. At the end of the scene, He testifies that prayer works. His answer to the disciples, this kind can only come out by prayer. That is a testimony from the Son of the living God that prayer works. That prayer works. And so when our faith is too weak, we want to live on Jesus' faith. You know, I remember one day when, you know, my pastor, Pastor Hubert, was reading his King James Bible, and he got to a familiar verse, Galatians 2:20. And, you know, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. You know, and that's probably the NIV, what kind of just flows out of me. Well, the King James Version says this: the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, that's a little different. We're not living this life on our faith. Living it on his faith. And I'll never forget that conversation. Hubert was so excited when he saw that. Small words make a big difference. And they make a big difference when you answer the question of prayer. Does it really work? Yes, it does. Now, I want to give you an English lesson today, which is kind of scary. I understand. I'm not all that excited. Wasn't all that excited about English class in school. Grammar and those kinds of things just weren't my thing. Diagramming sentences, didn't really care for that much. And, you know, and I think part of the problem was there were some rules that they would teach us that I just couldn't make stick. I couldn't remember. And to this day, I got trouble with some of those rules. Like any time I ever write a sentence that has the word effect in it, I always wonder if I should use the word affect. Which is effect or effect? Well, today, I'm really glad you're here because I'm going to settle this for you. Because there's an affect to prayer and an effect to prayer. All right? Now, affect, here's some English lesson. Affect as a verb means to produce a change in something. And as a noun, it's really too complicated to explain to you. Really, it is. But I just want to say it's something that goes on inside of you. And effect is as a verb means to bring about an outcome. And as a noun, it can simply mean a result. So prayer does make a difference. There's an affect of prayer and there's an effect of prayer. The affect of prayer is something that goes on inside of you. All right, because we're praying. And so here's four things that happen on the inside of you when you pray. Prayer changes your wishing into waiting. Okay? It changes your wishing into waiting. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So now we've got to remember this tension of I believe, help my unbelief, and we got to stay in our role and let God do his role. So when we pray, we're not just wishing upon a star. You know, we're not just like waking up going, I hope it doesn't rain today. And you know, we're not just wishing the Colts would get to the Super Bowl. You know, things like that. It's just wishing. No. We take our requests to a good God who gives generously to all without finding fault. And when we take them in faith, we believe that God is going to answer. And so that changes wishing into waiting. We start waiting on God. Now, in 2008, with God's help, a lot of God's help, and a lot of prayer, we stepped out from Brookville Road and we started a church here in McCordsville. And it's amazing, isn't it, where God has put us. There's 80,000 people within this spot, 5-mile radius. 80,000 people that live around here. We're on a busy street. Now God's brought this huge magnet that's going to bring all these people. They're hiring 300 people. I'm going to have 300 co-workers on the lot. You know, this is like totally different for me. I just saw that. But, you know, when we started here, there was just a big field of grass. And the Meyer said, you guys can move in, just cut the grass. That was our rent. You know, so that was a huge answer to prayer. And so ever since we started meeting here, there's been this request that Meyer would just give it to us. You know, I mean, that was on the radar from day one when we moved in. It was like, do work, Lord. You know, and so I'm praying that up. And you know, as I look back on it, I realized that I was really kind of doing more wishing about that than I was waiting on God to do something about it. Because I'm like, you know, it's Meyer. It's a big business corporation. And, you know, this is, you know, $4 million piece of property. There's no way they're going to give it to us. You know, those things would go through my mind. And as time went on, though, my wishing started to change. started to change into waiting, because God was doing some things in me, increasing my faith for what he could do. And so what happened was I stopped praying that Meyer would give us the land, and I started praying that God would give us the land, and it changed everything. And here we are, we're sitting in a place that is one big testimony that prayer works. In March of 2015, I got that call from Meyer, and you know, the guy said, we want to build our store, and I said, sure, and he said, but we want you to stay. And I was like, that'd be an answer to prayer, you know, and so that's what happened, and here we are. You know, in the last year, God has transformed, praise the Lord. God has transformed this place into a tent of meeting to a temple of the living God, right? And we're staying here. He's established it. That's huge for a church plant. Huge. And he did it all. Now, last year, you know, because I look back on that and I think, you know, I was praying that God would give it to us. But we went through this Daring Faith Challenge, you know, back in the spring. And one of the things that we heard in that was that sometimes what you're waiting for God to do for you, he wants to do through you. And then it made lots of sense to me that not only did we need a church, a place to meet, but we need people that believe God, that have faith. And so as we give toward paying this place off and then whatever else we'll get to do with our giving, God is increasing our faith as we're watching him provide in our lives. We just made another $50,000 payment on the loan. It's down $100,000 from where we started back last fall. So praise the Lord. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing. So wishing turns to waiting. Here's another one. Your weakness changes into strength. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Waiting is not a do-nothing activity. You know, there's a lot of prayer involved in waiting. I'm waiting for God to come through for us. And as we do that, there's an effect to prayer on the inside of us. And it's dramatic. Because God, the creator, the one who created us, who knows us, he breathes life into us as we wait on him. Every day there's new mercy that flows into our lives. And part of that is the faith to go one more day. One more day to keep on believing. So he takes our tired hearts, you know, tired of working, tired of suffering, tired of trying to keep our head above water. He takes our tired hearts, breathes life into them, renews our strength by reminding us we're not just waiting on time. We're not just waiting on Christmas. We're waiting on him. We're waiting on him. And knowing that renews your strength for the day to go one more day. It's another effect of prayer. Here's another one. Prayer changes anxiety into peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, for a lot of years in my life, I just believed that verse meant that when we lifted up our worries to God, that he would send his peace and it would overwhelm us so much that we wouldn't be able to understand it. That's not what the verse means. It's not what it means. When we lift up our worries to God, we know that we've lifted them up and that he is now carrying them because we aren't worrying anymore. Okay? We're not worrying anymore. And so when that happens, we no longer need the understanding for whatever it is we're praying about because we have the peace and we know he's got it, whatever it is. That makes sense? So the peace that passes all understanding is a comparison kind of thing, not an overwhelming kind of thing. I've got the peace, so I don't need the understanding anymore. So that's an effective prayer. Changes anxiety into peace. And then one more, changes what comes out of us, our output into a witness. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Prayer changes you. When you spend time with Jesus in prayer, in conversation on a regular basis, God is at work producing a witness in your life. And what comes out of you starts to change. Okay, Peter and John, they were just fishermen, uneducated men. They were doing battle with the religious elite. And they were standing up with boldness and confidence. And that all came from their time that they spent with Jesus. Now, I know that it's a little bit different for us, but it's the same too. When we spend time with Jesus, it gives us a witness. He increases our faith. We're waiting on God. So people will notice that. They will notice that you have peace instead of worry when you should have worry. They'll notice that. They'll notice when you have patience instead of frustration when you should be frustrated. They'll notice that you've got hope instead of gloom and doom when most people are gloom and doom. They'll notice you have faith instead of fear when you should be afraid. That gives you a witness, your time with the Lord. There's an effective prayer that happens to everybody. So would you like to have more faith? Would you like to have more strength, more peace in your life? You know what you should do? Push! Pray until something happens. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Wishing turns into waiting. Weakness turns into strength. Peace turns into worry and witness instead of noise in our life. Okay, so prayer doesn't just have an effect. It also has an effect. It doesn't just change us on the inside. Prayer changes things on the outside of us. And there are many examples in the Bible that we can go to. And the reason we go to the Bible is because that is the place that we can find the most reliable information about God. So we go to the Bible to support everything. And so here, let's go to the Old Testament. It's 2 Kings chapter 19. Hezekiah receives a threatening letter from the king of the Assyrians who had been taken out, decimating all these other nations. And so Hezekiah goes into the temple. Listen to verses 14 to 19. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but they were the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. That is an awesome prayer. An awesome prayer. Still applicable to our lives today in many ways. But what happened was God heard the prayer and he sent an angel of the Lord to take out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers and Israel was safe. Didn't even have to fight. That's the way our God works. That's an effect of Hezekiah's prayer. Changed on the outside. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas get thrown into prison. Verses 25 and 26. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Now, we don't get the content of what Paul and Silas were praying, but we sure see the results. We sure see the effect of their prayer. The jailer thinks that all the prisoners escaped, and he gets ready to kill himself, and Paul stops him. And he says, we're all here. And so when the jailer, the guy, sees how these prisoners were behaving, he goes from death's door to the waters of baptism. He believes, and his whole house does. I'd say Paul has an effect of prayer going on the inside of him. Now, why did the jailer do that? Why did he go from trying to kill himself to being baptized and becoming a follower of Jesus? Why? Because there was a prayer meeting that night in the jail. Amen. The effects of prayer are all over the Bible. Still happen today? Does it still happen the same way today? Does prayer still work today like it did back then? I hope you can answer that question by now, but I want to give you some testimonies to take home with you, to carry with you for the next couple of weeks. Here's one from Pete Charpentier of Hammond, Louisiana. He wrote down this effect of prayer. He says, perhaps the cool, crisp air in Huancayo, Peru, should have signaled to our mission team God was about to do something special. The local Peruvians informed us a strike was being organized by those who serve the National Department of Transportation. And that might take place on the first day of our mission project scheduled to begin. At best, the strike would limit our work. At worst, it would cause us to be put in danger as we'd have to walk 1 mile to the mission project site with danger lurking around every corner. Having heard the discouraging news, men on the mission team decided to walk the streets of Huancayo and pray and ask God to do something. And that's what they did. They walked, they prayed, and they waited. The next day, the strike in Peru did in fact take place. Everywhere in the country except in Huancayo, Peru. God demonstrated his power in a miraculous, mysterious way. And there was no other explanation except for the power of prayer. God made a way for this small missions team to move throughout Huancayo, even though the transportation strike was restricting the entire rest of the country. Pete says, I'll never forget the miracle in Peru. It's another clear and constant reminder that God works in amazing, unexpected ways all over the world. Just as an aside, it was really hard for me not to say Purdue in that story, you know. Just, I did it like 3 times in practice. Another testimony for you. There was a couple who, by their 10th anniversary, were unable to conceive. Not able to have any children. They had been praying and asking God. And there were days when they would think about what would happen if they had a baby. And they started to talk about names for a boy and names for a girl. Well, they could agree on a boy name, but they could not agree on a girl name. The wife, she liked Autumn, and the husband preferred Amanda. So time continued to go on, still no child, boy or girl. So they went to Plan B and decided to adopt siblings. And so you can imagine how they prayed for this opportunity to come about, for God to work his perfect will in that situation and bind them with just the right children. Well, one day the adoption agency called and there were news that they had 2 sisters, ages 3 and 5, and they had been relinquished by their mother. Though she wasn't a believer herself, she requested that her girls be placed in a Christian home. And so that moved this couple to the top of the list. So the social worker, she called them, and she was asked to tell the couple about the girls, and she said this: they're both green-eyed blondes. The 5-year-old is named Autumn, and the 3-year-old is named Amanda. That's an effective prayer. One more for you. It comes from Pastor Chuck Swindoll. He shares the following story about a conversation he had with a Christian leader who started a new ministry for the Navigators in Uganda. He said the man told Swindoll that after much discussion and prayer, he and his wife decided that they needed to go to Uganda and start a Navigators ministry there. And so they uprooted their family and they went to Kenya. There the man put his family up in a hotel and he rented a Land Rover so he could go over the border into Uganda. He told Swindoll one of the first things that he noticed when he came into the village where he was going to spend his first night there was all the young kids walking around with automatic weapons, shooting them off in the air. And he said, as I drove by, they would look at me and point their weapons at me. So eventually, after some exploring, he found this dingy, dimly lit hotel. And inside, he goes up to the registration counter, and the clerk there spoke little English, and he told him there was 1 bed available in his hotel. We walked up a couple of flights of stairs and went to the room and opened the door, and he turned on the 1 naked light bulb in the middle of the room, and he saw that there were 2 beds in the room. One was unmade and one was made. And he realized all of a sudden, I'm sharing this room with somebody else. And so a chill went down his spine, and at that point he definitely needed some encouragement, the only kind that the Lord can give. And so he dropped down to his knees and he said this: look, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm in a country I don't know, in a culture that's totally unfamiliar. I have no idea who sleeps in that bed. Please show me that you are here in this move. So then he says, just as I finished my prayer, the door flung open and there was stood this 6'5" African frowning at me, saying in beautiful British English, "What are you doing in my country?" I kneeled there for a moment and then I muttered, "They gave me this bed, I'll just be here for one night. What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm with an organization called the Navigators." And the African said, "Ah, the Navigators." Suddenly this guy picks him up, enormous grin on his face, starts dancing around the room. "Praise God, praise God, the Navigators. For 2 years I've prayed that God would send somebody here to my country from this organization." He pulls out a scripture memory verse pack, which is what the Navigators are for. And he points at the bottom of every verse card. "See, Navigators, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Are you from Colorado Springs, Colorado?" "Yes, I am. But I'm moving here to Uganda to start a ministry." And so this African became his best friend. Helped him find a place to live. Helped him with starting the ministry. Another effect of prayer. And there's tons more. This building, effect of prayer. We get to come here every week and worship God. So even though we struggle with, "I believe, help my unbelief," prayer does make a difference. The effect of prayer changing us on the inside. The effect of prayer changing the world that we live in. And so what we have to do now is push. Pray until something happens. And so we're going to close the service doing just that. I'm going to ask Paul Meisner to come on up. And we're going to also have Maquan and Roshan, Mike and Suzanne. Kids can come if you want. Come on up.
We all know now that Mike and Greg and Pastor Maquan are leaving us for a few weeks. And you think back, that's really part of our growing faith challenge. The O was be obedient to God's command to send people into our communities and into other nations. And they have the opportunity to go to India, representing us, more importantly, representing God and Jesus Christ. And so we want to send them off in prayer. I would invite anybody that wants to and is able to come up and just kind of gather around them and
step out a little bit
to show our support and our love for them. Heavenly Father, as we've surrounded this group of men and their wives and in support and love and encouragement, we just pray that your presence would surround them as they go. We know your spirit will be with them and guide them. Father, we pray for your watchful hand as they travel. You keep them safe. We pray that as your word is proclaimed, that it would be have an impact on those that hear.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you would keep them healthy during this trip. We just pray that your will will be done. We thank you for their obedience. Father, you're a good God, and we know you have a plan for what's going to happen in India. We know it will probably have an effect on their own hearts, but we also pray for the effect on those in India that they'll be encountering either in a formal setting or even in those informal times of gathering. So we just pray that during this whole time, again, that your presence would be with them and your will would be done and your work would be done.